It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Pivot off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygag.
Lollygaggers. What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Joe Auriemma, and we have a guest host today filling in for Chris Sheeran, who is not feeling well. We have the one, the only, the incomparable Seth Everett. How are you, buddy?
What's going on? I heard Chris was Wally Pipp, so I figured I could be Garrett.
This is true. Chris, better watch out next week.
I mean, this is a Yes Network, so you can make that reference.
that is a fair point, Seth. Seth,
if we were in Pittsburgh, believe me, I would. That joke doesn't work.
It would go over everybody's head. I have to tell you, Seth, it's always a pleasure having you on, especially on this holiday edition here on YesNetwork.com.
Right, you've got all the people that are basically spend Christmas Day having Chinese food and watching cartoons.
Right. Well, and not only that, but they're going to be listening to the Off the Wall podcast. That's what we're talking about.
I'm going on a flight, so I will download this thing. I'll be listening.
Nice.
And what I'll do is if the person next to me it's asleep, I'll just put my earbuds in their ear so they'll hear it too.
So that's how we build an audience here,
right.
Seth.
There you go.
That's how we build an audience.
And my 2-year-old will say, Daddy, Dora, please, Dora.
Please. Well, Seth, I know you're covering the Nets these days.
Yeah.
Good gig. You're on the Fan. I hear you're doing a great job. And the Nets, who are on a little bit of a hot streak for the Nets, they're 9-20 right now, and it's pretty amazing what's going on in the NBA. The Nets at 9-20 are 3 games back of the Milwaukee Bucks.
2.5. Yeah.
Yeah, for the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference. It's pretty amazing, Seth.
You know, it was very funny, and we're taping this on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and we have to state that because they've won 3 out of 4, but
right.
They play tonight in New Orleans, so if they get beat by 50, it's not my responsibility.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about the good Nets right now.
Right.
So
this is the good day to do this. If we were recording this tomorrow, then that's
it
so
might
good.
Have been a bad idea.
But anyway, we were joking about that in the studio because I couldn't in good conscience say, hey, well, the Nets have won 3 out of 4, they're 2.5 out of a playoff spot, because I think
yeah.
it was all your credibility there. The Nets know what their record is.
Right.
But I think that if I can spend as much time as I had to during that 8-game losing streak that was torture, I can promise you that I'll be harping on the fact that it's 3 out of 4. They're playing a rotation because there's a lot of things, moving parts with the Nets.
Right.
That's what's so fascinating. They don't know what their rotation is going to be in 5 days with all the trade rumors.
Very true.
And every guy in that locker room is affected because we just saw the Orlando Magic. Their whole roster is different.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me when the Orlando Magic started last week that they would have any idea what's coming. You can change an NBA team because the rosters are so small. It's not like a baseball team.
Right.
You can change an NBA roster in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden you have a totally different team.
It's so true. And really, it's got to be on the minds of guys like Derek Favors and, you know, you hear Devin Harris in the mix. I mean, I know there's only so much that Avery Johnson can do to kind of talk to his players and tell him or tell them, you know, you just got to go out there and continue to play hard. But it's got to be weighing on all these players' minds, especially with all the talk of Carmelo coming to New Jersey.
Well, and the thing about it is if the rumors stopped, then you could do coach speak and say, guys, we got to stop this. This is
right.
media stuff. I mean, there's a new rumor every day, and it was amazing because there was a story last week that said, you know, Carmelo was only going to accept a trade to the Knicks, which, by the way, it wasn't factual because he can't. The only thing he has power to say is whether he'll sign an extension. He doesn't
right.
The Nuggets can trade him everywhere, anywhere, which is why that rumor to Dallas is interesting, because would Dallas be dumb enough to rent him? You're
yeah.
not going to give Denver what they want in return to rent Carmelo Anthony. Like, that's crazy.
I agree.
My stance on this whole thing has been, and I want to say, you know, full disclosure, I am a Syracuse alum, so Carmelo Anthony's my guy.
And I know...
He's won the national championship, just for the record. So I don't want to speak out of school, but he knows that the NBA is going to have a lockout coming up.
Yes.
And that's going to be an ugly thing. I mean, David Stern's talking tough now. He's talking about contraction. He's talking about some really ugly things. And when I worked for the commissioner's office in baseball, I remember those talks. I mean, I was in the middle of all that. It was ugly.
Seth, I actually want to bring up that whole issue right now real quick. You know, you talk about contraction, and it's really something else because you look at the state of the NBA right now, okay? And 16 of the 30 teams are under 500. The competition is just not there right now. I mean, 9 teams are under 500 in the East. 7 teams are under 500 in the West. There are 2 teams that are the 7th and 8th seed in the Pacers and Bucks that are under 500, and the Bucks are 11-16.
Right, that's how you can be 9-20 and 2.5 games out of the playoffs. I mean, that's really the statement. It's not really about the Nets. It's more about the East. I get it. But the thing about the NBA, and I think the NBA system is flawed. Didn't we have the last time I was on your show, didn't we have that conversation about I think all salary caps are stupid?
Yes, we did have this conversation.
I mean, and this is my evidence. I mean, the NBA is going to demonstrate exactly why the baseball system works, because when baseball has their collective bargaining talks, which are coming, by the way.
Yes.
They're up in 2011. The players don't even have to go. I mean, literally, they could send one guy, they could send an intern, say, here, just sit here, and if anybody asks you to concede anything, the answer is no. And really what has to happen is Hank and Hal Steinbrenner have to sit in a room with John Henry, who have to go to Jeffrey Loria, who have to go to the people who now own the Twins, who now have to go to the folks out in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and they have to get on the same page.
Right.
I'm not saying, you know, we can have another show where we can debate what the right page should be, but people who fight the baseball system are really fighting the fact that they don't like the fact that their team is not competing.
Right. That's the truth.
You know what I'm saying? Your argument
that's
with
the truth.
Kansas City, they're not upset with the baseball system. They're upset with the Kansas City Royals.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so in the NBA, they've demonstrated, they created the Larry Bird rule for good intentions because you wanted to have greater incentive for a guy to beat Cal Ripken. I get it.
Right.
But, or I should have said Larry Bird, because it's called the Larry Bird.
The Larry Bird rule, obviously.
But that would have been more appropriate there. But the point, can you tell I'm a baseball guy?
I could tell there's a lot of correlation right now going on between basketball and baseball. Yeah, it's good stuff.
So the thing about Carmelo Anthony is he regardless of what he wants to do, if he's going to go free agent, he's going to sign with the Knicks. But I think by the time he's eligible to sign with the Knicks, which is after the lockout.
Right. You don't
there's
think
going
that,
to be a hard cap. There's not going to be any extension. He's not going to be able to sign a max contract.
I was just going to say, he's not going to get the 3-year, $65 million extension that he's looking for.
He better sign that, like, today.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And if it comes down to it, and the Nets have to talk to Carmelo, and they have to say, listen, we're basically the option here. You know, take it or leave it.
It's not just that. It's they have to sell the Brooklyn aspect of the whole thing.
And you could see Prokhorov. He's going to put the whole best foot forward here. So.
I mean, Prokhorov did, from what I was told, Prokhorov did an amazing job with LeBron James.
Yes.
And if Prokhorov had gotten into a room with Rudy Gay, Rudy Gay would have signed with the Nets, not the Grizzlies. He even told Fred Kerber of the Post that yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, he said he regretted even meeting with them because he loves what they're building.
Yeah.
And this is not about the Prudential Center. This is about Brooklyn. And there have been some studies, and there's an economic study that I did some research on just, you know, in researching this Nets job.
You are a jack of all trades. Let me tell you something, Seth.
Yeah, you're a funny guy. that the minute, and this is just something that's, so I'm not attributing this to any one person because I don't want to do that.
Right.
There's some research that shows the minute they become the Brooklyn Nets, if that's what they become, and they have a road jersey that says the word Brooklyn on it,
mm-hmm.
that will immediately become the number one selling jersey in the African-American community.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Now, I can't say that economist was wrong or right. I don't know. That's not my thing. But my point is that you're building something. You're going to build something that has some gravitas. So let's see if Carmelo Anthony can bite that. You're telling me he's going to leave $65 million, he's going to leave $30 million on the table, and he's going to say, and he's going to take the risk of having it be even worse.
Yeah.
Once the collective bargaining agreement, or is he going to sign the extension, get grandfathered in, make a ton of money, and play in Brooklyn? Like, he's really going to do that just to be a Knick?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right, Seth. It from what you're saying, it all makes sense. And you got to think that the Nets have put themselves in a position right now to make the best offer to the Denver Nuggets. I know they're wavering a little bit on Derek Favors. They don't know if he's going to be the player that everybody thinks he's going to be.
Well, you just
but...
hope Denver loves him.
Yeah, I, you know, from what I'm seeing, they're saying that, you know, they like him, but they don't know if they love him. But,
right,
but,
they don't know, and they're not sure, and that's why you have to put Devin Harris in the deal. I get it. And if you can get another team in, you might be able to bring another superstar. You know, Orlando was able to trade a ton of people. Rashard Lewis and Vince Carter were both dealt on the same day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can bring someone else, it's not going to be Chris Paul. You know, like,
no.
Let's talk realistically. But if you
Denver has a point guard right now with, I know he's aging, but Chauncey Billups could certainly be involved in a conversation with the Nets.
You want to hear a great story about Chauncey
Billups? I do, actually.
Chauncey Billups is a great dude. He was at the University of Colorado when I was working out in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And I got sent, you remember the Hall of Famer Dan Issel?
Yeah.
Dan Issel was the host of our afternoon show. I was like a reporter slash update guy, whatever, and I got sent out to Boulder because Chauncey Billups was announcing that he was foregoing his senior season at Colorado to go pro.
Right.
It was going to be a very emotional day, and basically I brought a bunch of notes because we're talking 1997. So, you know, the Internet, no iPod touches at that point.
Right.
You know? So I bring a bunch of notes. I got all my my Chauncey Billups information, and I'm ready to go. And they're basically doing a live talk in which I'm going to throw to the press conference as soon as it starts. The problem is his mother is nowhere to be found.
Oh,
but it's just waiting.
Right.
So Dan Issel doesn't know, and I don't know, because they're not telling when this woman's coming, and they don't know how this is going to start. So we're just BSing on the air waiting for this thing to start. Well, I got to say, after the first 20 minutes, I'm out of material. Because I was ready to go five. And once we get 20, I'm done.
Right.
The only thing I was able to ascertain in the break was that Chauncey Billups was very nervous about getting emotional when he was about to announce that he was leaving college to go pro.
Right.
And he asked for water. Like, he asked for, like, a pitcher of water to be with him, you know, so that he could drink as much water as he needs. Well, I don't know what came over me and where I was trying to get more information or just trying to multitask, but I said to Dan Issel, I said, you know, Dan, this is going to be an emotional press conference. There is water everywhere. So when Dan Issel got named the president and general manager of the Nuggets, he said, this is a very emotional day. No need for water.
That's a great story, Seth.
So, yeah, Chauncey Billups could be a big part. I totally didn't answer your question, but that's okay.
No. That's okay.
I'd rather just make people laugh.
I was going to say, you know, Seth, you know, you do such a great job with covering the Nets, and now it looks like there's going to be relevant basketball in the tri-state area, you know, for a while now between the Nets and the Knicks. The Knicks are coming on strong here.
Well, the thing about the Knicks, you know, it's very interesting. The two organizations, the rivalry between the two organizations is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The billboards, can't have enough billboards for me. The fact that the Knicks put billboards up in the Atlantic Yards in Brooklyn, they cracks me up to no end. The rivalry doesn't really exist on the court yet because when the Nets were good, the Knicks weren't. And now the Nets are struggling and the Knicks were good. The problem with the Knicks, though, is all the teams that they're beating were the bad teams in the East.
Right.
Like, I'm not belittling it. Like, they did beat Denver. I'm not putting the Knicks down by any means.
No, I understand.
But they haven't beaten the NBA elite yet. They did lose to Boston. They lost to Miami. And I think that
they have a ways to go. Yeah, but they were competitive in the Boston game. But they have a ways to go.
Stoudemire's, you know, got his neck issue, and my thing with Stoudemire was always his knee. I mean that would just seem crazy to give $100 million to a guy with a bad knee. Microfracture surgery on his knee? Wow.
Yeah.
And it was never about the player. I wasn't surprised that he would be great. I'll make this analogy. That, to me, is LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes.
I had no doubt that LaDainian Tomlinson was going to play well in first week 1-8. You had no idea what he was going to do in the second half because what happens when somebody hits him?
Exactly. It's so true. You know, Amari Stoudemire, knee issues throughout his career. But really, like you said, this first half – he is impressing a lot of people, especially
MVP. I mean, he's an MVP candidate. I like to use the word MVP as an adjective. You can have an MVP season. Like, for example, CeCe Sabathia had a Cy Young season. He didn't win the Cy Young Award.
No, because he wasn't. Yeah, exactly. But he had a Cy
Young season.
Right, I totally hear you.
So the thought on Stoudemire, and this is the whole thing with the Knicks realize this is a superstar-driven league too, and they know that they have money to spend, but if you change the salary cap, that money might be worth
gone.
Nothing.
Exactly.
So the theory, you know, at the time I didn't realize how severe the and maybe it was my problem, that I didn't look at the labor problem as saying it was unfixable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was smart that if you have, you know, you have a full deck, don't play your hand so fast because just because you couldn't get LeBron James. Like, the whole NBA system is so stupid that the Knicks had to forego two seasons of competitive basketball just to get in a room with LeBron James. Like,
yeah,
that's idiotic.
And at the end of the day, they didn't get him anyway. So
they didn't get
him
anyway, right. So the theory on how they're going to build now, if you're the Knicks and you're reading all these headlines, again, show me the logic that says, well, Carmelo Anthony wants to be a Knick, so he's just going to finagle it.
Right.
And I heard Adrian Wojnarowski. I have to learn his name.
You got
to
remember the name.
I have to get his name right before I do the show because I think he's coming on at halftime. but anyway, he answered this question because, you know, somebody in the New York media asked him, well, why would the Nuggets want Derek Favors over Delano Gallinari?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we got to start treating these players like what they really are. I mean, is Gallinari really the kind of player that Denver really wants? Apparently not.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the Nets have 5 number one draft picks.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. So,
and the Knicks don't have a draft pick till like 2014. They don't have a first round.
Right, and they could swing one if they needed to, but
right.
I don't think one makes a difference. I don't think that this is a situation. The Nuggets are an interesting team also because the Nuggets, I think, want to show that they're not going to let the player dictate where he goes.
Right, and they shouldn't, you know.
And that's pretty smart because if you remember, the whole city of Denver, and I lived in Denver for 2 years, I consider it one of my favorite cities, but John Elway dictated that he played there.
Right.
You know, everybody remembers Eli Manning said he wouldn't be a San Diego Charger. Well, John Elway wouldn't be a Baltimore Colt.
Right.
And he's a Denver Bronco because he orchestrated that.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to let Carmelo Anthony dictate the fate of that franchise because if he had more leverage, the Nuggets would be screwed because if this is a superstar-driven league and all of a sudden your superstar is going to hold all the cards, you're not going to get a lot in return anyway.
Right. I mean, they have obviously come to the conclusion that, you know, he is not going to sign with them, so they need to do what they need to do and do what's best for their franchise. You know, like you said, it is a star-driven league, but knowing that their star player is not going to be wearing their jersey next year, you know, they need to do what's best for the Denver Nuggets.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, the Nets, and I obviously talk to Nets ownership all the time, and they insist that the Barclays Center is opening in the summer of 2012. Now, I'm saying that exactly, and I'm wording it exactly that
yeah.
because I'm not going to speculate. This wasn't my degree. I'm not speculating on when buildings get built.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about engineering. I don't know if that's possible. I've seen the pictures. I go on the website and
yes.
I see the pictures, and the thing looks like a big piece of metal. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to make it quick.
If you're talking about an extension and next year gets wiped out. Now,
yeah.
I'm not talking about the whole season because I don't think they're that crazy. But if it's like what they had 10 years ago and it's 50 games, again, he's only going to play in Newark for the rest of this season. And
possibly 30, 40, 50 games. You know, who knows?
I mean, if that's only half of them are at home.
Yeah.
So
no,
let's
you're
just
right.
say let's just take the devil's advocate that he hates New Jersey.
Yes.
I would greatly be offended by because I grew up in New Jersey.
I grew up in New Jersey, too, and I would
love
say,
New Jersey
I do not want you
know,
in my state, Carmelo.
I'm going to just give him the Kevin Smith DVDs and just say, listen, man, this is my town.
Listen, go to Red Bank, go to the secret stash.
Right, could you imagine? You know, and Carmelo Anthony would look at me and say, dude, I went to Syracuse. Think I need to read comic books? What are you doing?
You know, Seth, it's been such a fun time here. I think we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back. We're going to do a little rapid fire. And,
Are you going to play some commercials?
Yeah, I'm going to do a little commercial break
here.
Yes
Network promos?
Absolutely.
Let's promote. Do me a favor. Can you promote Sports Money one more time?
I will promote Forbes Sports Money just for you.
There you go.
Going to get a little spot in there. Keep it right here on the Off the Wall podcast. Seth Everett, Joe Auriemma. We'll be right back. Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the holiday edition of Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com. We have Lou Gehrig in the studio right now. He's filling in for Wally Pip. How are you, Seth?
It's going to be some people on Twitter like, just get him off. Just get Sheeran back. If I get one of those, I'm retweeting it. That's all I can say.
No, I'm telling you, you're doing a great job here. We love having you on.
You're just buttering me up.
Oh, because we want you back on, Seth. That's what it's all about.
I understand.
All right.
Other stations, you know, they try to spiff you with tickets and such.
Well,
like, I do see a pinstripe ball coming, Mr. Yes
Network. Oh, I'll see what I can do, Seth. I was going to say I'll get you some.
We'll drive down from the Rock.
I'll get you some Nets tickets. How about that?
Yeah, Nets tickets. That's funny.
And we just spoke about the Nets. We just spoke about the Knicks. But really, you know, a lot of stories going on in New York right now between the Giants and the Jets, the Knicks and the Nets. But not a lot coming from the New York Yankees. I mean, they signed Pedro Feliciano. There's interest in Jeff Francis. They did not get Cliff Lee, as we've spoken about. But really, not a lot coming from Yankee camp. Andy Pettitte leaning toward retirement, and Brian Cashman just saying, be patient. What do you think about this whole situation?
Well, they really don't have a choice,
yeah,
to be honest with you. And I don't have a problem with the tactic. Cliff Lee was an interesting cat because it was very funny. I talked to some Phillies executives yesterday, actually, and they were telling me a story about how when he went to the All-Star game and he did the media availability,
mm-hmm.
He told a bunch of the Philly writers that he loved his time in Philly and never wanted to leave. I said, yeah, but if we went to the Texas writers, did he say the same thing to them?
Right, and
did he say
and
the
New York
thing to
media.
Seattle, or did he say the same thing to Cleveland?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to attack Cliff Lee here,
right,
but his agent talked agent speak the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
There's audio around of him saying how much he never wanted to leave any of these cities.
Yeah.
So he was the boy who cried wolf. That's why nobody thought Philadelphia had a shot, because everything that the indications were. Now, did Derek Broniker do what he was right for his client? I guess he did. He got him a $130 million deal, so
mm-hmm.
didn't go horribly wrong. But for the Yankees, I don't think that was a spurn of the Yankees. He really did enjoy his time in Philadelphia. But this is a bad bad free agent crop. And if you notice, other teams are starting to get weary of the Yankees because the Yankees can bully people.
Yeah.
All you
got
to do is say Raul Mondesi, and we all remember.
Yes.
Does anybody know the name of the guy that Raul Mondesi was traded for?
Exactly.
George Steinbrenner saw Raul Mondesi. He said, I want him. He said, give me a bag of donuts, and that was it. So the next thing you know, if you saw Florida, the day that Cliff Lee signed and then Greinke gets traded, Ricky Nolasco got a 3-year deal.
I did see that.
You think the Marlins were really going to sign Ricky Nolasco before spring training? Like, was that a priority of them?
Not at all.
It was a priority because they said, we're not going to get enticed. We're going to keep our young pitchers because we're trying to contend here. We're building a new stadium. We've got
right.
a new stadium opening. These teams don't want to screw around.
No.
And it's just their luck of the draw. It's not the Yankees' fault that Carl Pavano is the top free agent still out there. You know, that's not their fault that they can't touch that. And Greinke should never have come here either.
No, because, you know, all indications were that the Yankees did not like Greinke's makeup, especially with some of the issues that he's had. He has battled through them through his career, which he is very commendable, and he's been a good pitcher. But, you know, it says something that the Royals, who have worked with this guy for 10 years, molding him into the pitcher that he was, coming off a season where he was, you know, 10-14, his ERA was 2 points above where it was last year, you know, they were pretty willing to trade him.
Well, there were a couple things. He had asked them to be traded,
mm-hmm.
and the Royals are in a real bad situation because Dayton Moore came from the Braves, and everybody thought he was one of the geniuses in the Braves, and I like
yeah.
Dayton Moore. I'm not trying to rip Dayton Moore, but there was some evidence immediately when Dayton Moore got the job, he was picking up Braves prospects.
Right.
And all of a sudden I said, well, wait a second, that's Bruce Chen all over again. Because
yeah.
remember Bruce Chen? Bruce Chen was this highly touted pitcher, and I have a theory about John Schuerholz.
Okay.
When John Schuerholz likes you, he will pump you up to no end.
Yes.
But the minute he doesn't like you, he won't let anybody know, and he'll ship you out.
Yeah.
And you'll have 13 jerseys like Bruce Chen does.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? So they immediately found, and I'm sorry that the kid's name is, the guy that as soon as he got the job, he acquired a pitcher from the Braves, and his name escapes me for a second. But
yeah.
the fact of the matter is that you're talking about a team that is not, it's spinning their wheels. You know, they're getting burned on Alex Gordon because he hasn't developed. And, you know, here Greinke comes back from social anxiety disorder.
Right.
And he didn't want to be on a team that didn't have a sense of urgency. And the Brewers have a sense of urgency.
Yes,
they do.
They have
a nice team now. Sean Markham, coupled with Yovani Gallardo.
And how about Randy Wolf as their number four? I mean,
that's not horrible.
It's not horrible. A bad rotation. And, you know, they have a sense of urgency because they know that next year Prince Fielder very well is not going to be a Milwaukee Brewer. He's going to sign somewhere else most likely. And, you know, while they have him there, they're going to go for it.
Well, that's not a certainty either.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a chance Prince could stay. By the way, you know who Prince Fielder is named after?
Who?
Prince.
I did not know that.
Like, really, Prince's mom is a big Prince fan. And I'm a big Prince fan because I just saw him at Madison Square Garden, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
There's nothing to be ashamed about. Prince, let me tell you, not only does he put on a good show, but he is one of the top artists of all time.
And I wish that if you're in your 20s and you're in the position where you have the financial means to see him, all I would say is the guy puts on a clinic. He's 52 years old, went through hip surgery, and you know, I mean, the guy just rocks.
Yeah, he does rock, man. I've seen him in concert. I'm not ashamed to say it either. Amazing stuff. And I did not know that about Prince. And
Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder is named after Prince.
That's crazy.
He doesn't like to talk about his dad, but he does like to talk about his
name. Yeah.
But anyway, what the Brewers are building, and you're right, Randy Wolf as a number four is actually not horrible. And,
yeah.
You know, Renicky's going to have a chance to do some things with that club. And, you know, I'm upset that Willie Randolph didn't get a chance to manage that club. He was upset. I talked to him recently, and he had said the same thing. But listen, that's a winnable division. You know, Cincinnati had a good season, and I'm not saying Cincinnati's going to drop off, but, you know, they're going to have a fight on their hands. And,
yeah.
You know, Albert Pujols, and I hate to bring this up because I know this is not the focus, but Albert Pujols to me is holding the St. Louis Cardinals hostage.
Yeah.
I mean, why did Troy Tulowitzki get a 7-year contract extension? Because the Rockies are trying to figure out their plans, and they'd like to contend for the rest of this time. And they'd like to know exactly how much money they have to allocate to their superstar shortstop.
Right.
Well, don't you think that the Cardinals, they're not going to let Albert walk? Like, he's not going to put on another uniform.
They can't let him walk.
Albert
Pujols is the Cardinals.
Right. He's Jeter.
Yeah.
He's just Jeter in his prime.
Right.
And so he's going to sign. Do me a favor, Albert. Just sign a darn contract.
Yeah.
Because you know you're not leaving anywhere. You know what your leverage is. You know you're not getting $30 million A-Rod money because the minute you sign it, they're not going to sign you to that money. But it's going to be 26, 27. Just sign the deal.
Sign it, move on,
and then give
and
them
do what's best for the franchise.
Because I'll tell you this. You think the Yankees aren't calling John Mozeliak about Carpenter and Wainwright?
Oh, I know they are. I'm pretty positive they are. They'd be crazy not to. Those are two top-quality pitchers. I know Carpenter is 35 now. He's a little bit older, but the Yankees are definitely in on those guys.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you'd have to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would be wrong not to.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to the Yankees, though, I mean,
job. You have to keep it on.
No. I just want to talk.
I'm the guest that throws all your curveballs.
No. But I like that because we're getting into everything. I mean, we're talking about Prince, for God's sakes. It's amazing. It's good stuff, Seth.
Yeah, anybody on Twitter, by the way, if you know, if you've been following what I've been writing lately, you know that there was no chance Prince was not going to get mentioned in this.
I duly noted. I'm going to check out your stuff, man. I apologize that I haven't already.
That's okay.
All right. going back to the Yankees, though. So, Seth, what's the next move? I know.
Where do they go from here?
Yeah, Cashman's saying patience, but where do you think this eventually goes?
Well, I'll tell you one name that I heard from Philadelphia, and the guy that they're shopping is Joe Blanton. I like that for a fourth starter. If you're going to tell me that it's Sabathia, Hughes, Burnett, Blanton, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
No. And,
and you could probably get him cheap. So.
He's solid.
Right, he's a solid guy. You know who Joe Blanton's going to be? Joe Blanton, if they ever lift that rule where every team in baseball – by the way, every team in baseball should have Old-Timers Day.
I agree.
You've lived through an Old-Timers Day, so have I, and they're amazing. But the best thing is I love – the best intro is Aaron Small.
Yes.
Because he's just a guy who had a key role on a good team and now has a place in lore. Well, Joe Blanton pitched in 3 straight playoffs and pitched in the World Series and was a member of the 2009 World Championship team. Not 2009, the 2008.
2008, yeah. He's a guy that
Joe Blanton will get a standing ovation in 6 years.
He's a guy that could go out in you know, 6, 7, 10, 20 years, and the people of Philadelphia will always remember Joe Blanton.
Right, they'll always talk about Halliday and Lee and Hamels, and then they'll say, oh, my God, you remember Joe Blanton?
Yeah. It's,
he pitched that game four. He pitched that game four in 09.
You're right.
That's what Joe Blanton is. So he's a guy that has tons of playoff experience, which is what you want anyway. And you know what? If he doesn't work out, you're shortening the rotation anyway. I mean, this idea that, you know, it's not fantasy baseball. You don't have to plug Sergio Mitre and Ivan Nova in right now.
No.
Just let the thing play out and see what you can find. And you know what? If you have to build up, because if your two best pitchers going into opening day are Phil Hughes and CC Sabathia, you're not horrible.
No, you're not horrible.
The Red Sox don't know what they're getting out of Josh Beckett anyway.
You're totally right on that point. And you look at the Rays. The Rays have no bullpen. Their bullpen's been decimated by this free agent market. They lost Carl Crawford. You know, their starting rotation is going to keep them in games, but past that, the Rays have really taken a step back here. So when it comes down to it, the Yankees are going to be right there with the Red Sox, who on paper right now are arguably the best team in the American League. And when it comes down to it, at trade deadline, you know, the Yankees are going to be right there because they have the prospects to get someone to improve their team for a stretch run.
Well, they do, and I mean, I do think that they're going to put the catchers on the market because that's why you signed Russell Martin.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that Romano or Montero should be traded. That's not my stance. My stance is you just keep them in your deck, you know, keep them as cards you can play and see what happens and see how things develop. You know, don't think about Josh Johnson. Don't think about Felix Hernandez. These guys have multi-year deals, and, you know, we are going to play some competitive balance here. So let's just see how it goes. You know, if the Rays trade Garza, that's an interesting thing because the kid, Jeremy Hellickson, I don't know if you saw him when he came up for his cup of coffee.
Awesome. And I saw him.
He's probably better than half the starters in that rotation.
Yeah, so. I saw him down in the minors, too, and he's
great.
He's something else.
So they're not going to be horrible, even though they, you know, their owner, which their owner just had bad timing. I thought the two times in March, first week of spring training, don't start talking about the payroll ending, you know, being cut by 20. And then when you're getting ready to play your big AL East series and you're in Yankee Stadium, that's not the time to start talking about poverty. And no one wanted to hear it. It sucked the wind out of that Rays franchise. And, you know, to me, that was what really took the life. I mean, I know a lot of people said that both teams made the playoffs, so there wasn't much of a race anyway. But when I'm a Tampa fan, forget the long term.
Right.
Tampa was going in. They had to win that series to take over first place. And their owner's coming up talking about $72 million going to 50. What are the players? You know, the players even responded. Price even said and on Twitter, he said, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, it's and the fans obviously responded. I mean, they didn't show up to many games this year, but that's a different story. I actually want to talk now about the New York Football Giants. I want to transition into the Giants now. Obviously, you saw the game on Sunday, as did I. It was an epic collapse. You know, they were up 31-10 with 7 minutes to go. And Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles just there's nothing to say here, Seth. It's just, what can you say about what the Giants did?
Well, what happened is one of the all-time collapses.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a couple of really bad mistakes for a team that played really well for, you know, more than three quarters of a game. The problem that you all came up with is this is a team that probably saw its best chance to go to the Super Bowl fall apart.
Yeah.
Because now, even if they make the playoffs, it's just going to be a tougher task. Is it an insurmountable task? Yeah, but you know, when they write these sagas, when you see these World Series DVDs and Super Bowl videos, you usually don't hear about the team that lost that game.
Yeah.
You only hear about the team that won that game that became Cinderella.
Right.
And the Eagles are not the best team you've ever seen.
I'll tell you this. The only time that I could say I remember is actually from this Giant team. They lost that game to the Patriots, which made them a better team in the postseason.
Sure.
But
this is a totally different scenario. That wasn't this. No,
yeah, this is a choke. I mean,
this was horrible. And I mean, the factors and you can nitpick first of all, I want DeSean Jackson to run into a brick wall. I mean, it's so easy to hate that guy.
He's the
and
worst.
Then the other one is you know, you feel bad for the punter, but it really shouldn't have gotten that way. And I hate to say it, but the coach is on the hook because he should have put the hands team out on the onside kick. So
you're right.
I mean, there were a lot of different things, and I'm not saying anything that Giant fans don't already know. And you know, I talk to a lot of Giant fans during the course of the week, and you just have to go to battle. And, you know, don't consider this Green Bay game a lock. It's going to be freezing up there, and it's going to be a situation where the Packers are still good. They're a good team, and they choked that game away, but they had a chance to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
If they had executed better, they would have. And we'll see how the Giants do it. You know, Tom Coughlin said the team was very quiet this week. Well,
yeah.
That's scary.
You know, Seth, one thing that I've been saying about this Giants team all year is, look, they've got a lot of takeaways, but they've turned the ball over a lot. Mario Manningham turned the ball over at the absolute wrong time in that game. Special teams has been a problem. And defense, you know, they haven't been able to close out a lot of these games. You know, they put the pedal to the metal for three and a half quarters, and, you know, they let teams back in the games. And it seems like all three things just came crashing down on them in this game.
Yeah, and the problem is that this is not one of those scenarios where you ask, like, where do they go from here? There's no personnel changes that need to happen.
No, not at all.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're not making any defensive changes. You're not changing anything in the offense. You actually figured out how to use the running backs correctly, which I was impressed. And you've actually been able to pass the ball to Kevin Boss to pick up for the lack of the receivers. So,
right.
I mean, that's the thing. At this stage of the season, like, there's an old adage in baseball that say when you get to mid-September, you say, at this point in the season, you don't have to be good. You just have to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it applies here because that's a good team. We know that's a good team, but they don't need to prove anything. They just need to win to make sure that they get in and try to get themselves as best a position in the NFC because there are some bad teams in the NFC playoffs, and you just hope that the luck of the draw. The problem is going to come is that if you had won that game, you see, the Eagles are going to have the opportunities that the Giants should have had, which
yeah.
was I'd rather play the Bears again and in the Meadowlands. I don't want to have to go to Soldier Field again.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see some of the good teams, and you know the Eagles are in a good position for themselves, and you know, I hate to say it, but I found the week much more compelling for Philadelphia because I felt bad for Tom Coughlin. I'm very confused about what they're going to do with Michael Vick. Michael Vick still owes $12 million.
Yeah,
Eagles are going to just pay that debt.
Yeah, no, you're
Eagles
right.
Eagles are going to make that kind of a guarantee to him.
Yeah,
I mean, wow, that's an interesting. That's a scary thing, and that's probably for another show, but what to do with Michael Vick is a fascinating thing because he's a spectacular player that you can't bank on for any particular year.
No, you're right about that. You know, you mentioned the Green Bay Packers. Another great player, Aaron Rodgers, is cleared, it looks like, to play this game. It's going to be an interesting game because he's one of these guys who, you know, Seth, when he gets out of the pocket and he scrambles and he actually is a really, really good quarterback on the run. He makes good throws. He's a dynamic quarterback, and this is something that, you know, if the Giants had their way, they probably wish that concussion, you know, would have kept him out for this game, but he probably is going to be there.
He's a good player, but the Giants have beaten teams with good quarterbacks before, and they've knocked out a bunch of quarterbacks.
Yes, they have.
Let's get the pass rush going, and they can pull this off. I have no doubt that the Giants are in a position to win this week, and I wouldn't be stunned if they do respond.
Right.
But because of the uncertainty, because of this, you know, the intangible in football is always, are they motivated?
Right.
And are they looking behind, or are they going to regret the missed opportunity? You know, it's always hard when you make the error in the ninth inning to then come up the next inning and try to hit. You know what I'm saying? You don't know how that guy's going to come back. So let's just wait and see. And the Giants are very compelling. The Jets are pretty compelling, too. The Jets, to me, missed a lot of opportunities, too. But the Jets are compelling only because the Bears have shown their weaknesses, but they don't show their weaknesses when it counts.
No, you're right.
You know, are the Jets going to be able to do the same thing? And, you know, again, we're taping this on Wednesday. I have no idea what Mark Sanchez is going to be able to do.
He's been so hit or miss. I mean, he's a second-year quarterback. We get it.
He's hurt, and no one on the Jets will admit how hurt he is.
Yeah, he's hurt. The offense, you know, has been anemic. Brad Smith is, oh, my God, he's dynamic. He's another one that really set the tone in that game against Pittsburgh. And the Jets, you know, they're in a good position. They're not going to catch the Patriots, but the Jets, you know, they go to Chicago, and we'll see what they're made of here this week.
Well, they're in a good position to have success, and it's so funny because everybody always wanted to know who was better, the Jets or the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it doesn't matter because each one can't get out of their own way.
It's true.
And it's just so funny because didn't we say that was going to happen in December? I mean, I think we talked about it. I don't know if it was on the air or off, but we said, boy, everybody wants to know who's better, the Jets or the Giants. I guarantee you there's going to be plenty of opportunities to find out.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, Seth. What do you got going on otherwise? I want to give you a pop here. You're so good to us here on YesNetwork.com and Off the Wall. What's going on in the life of Seth Everett?
Well, we've got Nets and Hornets that I have to start preparing for.
Yes.
That's a big game. Avery Johnson going back to his home. Have some interesting things going on with some teams, and hope to make a couple of big announcements after the first of the year. And for everybody who has a great holiday, that's great. I can't wait for the holidays to be over so we can get back to work.
Oh, that's good stuff, Seth. Listen, everybody out there, you got to catch Seth Everett. He's on WFAN doing Nets pre- and post-game. You do a great job. And you did a great job today filling in for Chris Sheeran, I got to tell you.
Well, and just
very impressive.
To you know, for the record, I am a great admirer of Chris. I consider him a friend.
Yes.
The fact that he wimped out and couldn't do the show, let's just say this. I mean, I can't wait till he's germ free. I will put the little mask over my face and confirm
him. It's going to be like you're going to pull a SARS on him, right? You're going to wear the mask all over the place.
Exactly.
Seth, thank you very much for coming on. We have some big announcements coming up as well after the new year. Some changes to the format here on Off the Wall. You guys are going to love it. Everything is getting better here on YesNetwork.com. For Seth Everett, I'm Joe Auriemma saying thanks for joining us here on Off the Wall. We'll see you next time, and have a happy, healthy, and safe holiday, everybody.